All eyes are on Pyeongchang, South Korea.
I'd love to be able to defend the giant slalom title.
Alpine skier and gold medalist Ted Ligety is part of the largest U.S. Winter Olympics team ever. We'll tell you five key athletes to watch. I'm David Green. This is the Up First Olympics Preview Special. The Winter Games are being held about 50 miles from the North Korean border. We'll set the geopolitical scene as the North and South compete together. And you think you have stress dreams? Imagine those of an Olympic athlete.
We all have those dreams where your whole body just turns to kind of like molasses. You can't run, you can't do anything.
Yeah, that would definitely be a nightmare for a bobsled pilot like Nick Cunningham. We'll talk about what makes him and his fellow Olympians wake up in a cold sweat. Stay with us. We are going to give you all the news you need for the 2018 Winter Games. Okay, so the stage is set for the 2018 Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang, South Korea, and that is where we find my co-host, Melissa Block. Melissa, I know nothing about Pyeongchang, South Korea. What's it like there?
In a word, David, it is cold. In fact, two words, really cold. Last time I checked with the wind chill, it is minus 10. I'm standing right now outside the Olympic Stadium. This is where the opening and closing ceremonies are going to be held. And they're going to be handing out heated seat cushions, caps, blankets, hand warmers, because the stadium has no roof. It has no central heating. There are more than 90 countries sending athletes, about 2,900 athletes coming to these Olympic Games. And as I'm looking up at the stadium, I'm seeing the flags of these countries waving. Interestingly, up there is the flag of North Korea. Typically in South Korea, it's illegal to show the North Korean flag, but because this is supposed to be an Olympics of unity between North and South, that flag is flying, and we'll hear more about that a little later on. I am joined here in the cold by NPR sports correspondent Tom Goldman. We have stepped out of the wind a little bit, but we can see our
Doesn't
breath
help.
As we're
Doesn't
talking.
Help.
Well, Tom, I am glad this is a Winter Olympics that actually feels like a Winter Olympics, although maybe you're not so glad that it feels like a Winter Olympics. Well, get us going on the events. I mean, there's some new events that are being added to these games, right?
Yes, four new events. I'll give you a couple, actually.
Okay.
They include the big air in snowboarding, where competitors take off from this huge ramp, do tricks and spins and flips. It is a real ooh and ah event. Then there's the mass start in long track speed skating. It's the frenetic high energy of short track speed skating in long track. Now, a cluster of skaters, up to 24, they take off at the same time. They're jostling for position, causing pileups on the ice. You know, demolition derby fans would love this. And it's actually not brand new. The event was in one other Winter Games, 1932 in Lake Placid.
All right, well, of course, I mean, the Olympics are so much about personal stories. Let's talk athletes. Who's the U.S. sending here?
The U.S. is sending a record 242 athletes to these games. That's the largest roster for any country ever in any Winter Games. And a lot of them are veteran Olympians, a number of superstars, familiar names. And why don't we start with alpine skier Lindsey Vonn, already a two-time medalist in previous Olympics. She's favored to win gold in women's downhill. This will be her fourth Olympic Games. And she is just on a tear, David. She just won her 81st World Cup race. She's pretty amazing and looking to do really well here in Pyeongchang.
Tom, you have your eye on any veterans?
I do, David. Mr. GS, Mr. Giant Slalom, 33-year-old alpine skier Ted Ligety, a two-time gold medalist. He won his first in 2006. He also won in 2014. He's coming off two injury-filled seasons, but he's working his way back. He's currently ranked 8th in the World Cup standings in giant slalom. And he says he's got a few good years left into his late 30s, he hopes. I had a chance to speak with Ted Ligety about his technique and what makes him so good.
I get big angles. I lay it over really hard. So if you look at a picture of me, my hip's normally on the ground and I'm really far over compared to a lot of guys. And that comes from, you know, how I grew up free skiing at home.
I love hearing these athletes. I mean, they make it sound so easy. And then you watch them on television at these events. It's just insane. So those are veterans. Who are some of the newer names that we just haven't heard of before?
Okay, well, if you don't know her name already, I think you're going to know it pretty soon. Mame Baini, who does short track speed skating. She just turned 18, born in Ghana. She's lived in the U.S. since she was 5. She's made history already. She's the first African-American woman to make Team USA's short track speed skating team. She is joyful and exuberant and just a real blast to watch.
And we would be remiss, David, not to mention the great Michaela Schifrin. At the last Winter Olympics, she became the youngest Olympic slalom gold medalist at 18 years old. Now she's hoping to become the first skier to repeat as Olympic slalom champion. A former coach says she trains harder by far than any other skier in the world. She is constantly on the slopes. So Pyeongchang is considered her moment, really. Then there's Nathan Chen in male figure skating, 18 years old. He's positioned himself among the favorites to win gold in that event. He is a jumping machine. Last month at the U.S. Figure Skating Championships, I watched as he nailed 5 quadruple jumps in his championship-winning long program. He's a great skater. He could do great things here.
But for all the great things you're talking about among the American athletes, this is not always Team USA's moment when it comes to the Winter Olympics.
Oh, definitely not. I mean, there are a lot of good countries that will probably keep Team USA from winning the overall medal count. I mean, countries like Germany, which is expected to do very well in the sliding sports of bobsled and skeleton luge, also in ski jumping. And then Norway, led by athletes in biathlon, cross-country skiing. There's the legendary cross-country skier Marit Bjørgen from Norway. She's won 10 Winter Olympic medals, 6 of them gold, over the last 4 games.
Well, and I guess, Tom, we have to spend a few minutes talking about one of the biggest stories heading into these Olympics. It's the doping violations against Russia. And I mean, Russia's the country that always makes noise at the Winter Olympics.
Absolutely. Traditionally a winter power. But this time, Russia will be muted because of the massive doping scandal you mentioned. The Russian Olympic Committee is banned from these games. The shorthand people are using is that Russia is banned. But the International Olympic Committee decided to let some individual Russian athletes compete if they were identified as being clean. So the IOC invited, that's the term it likes to use, invited 169 Russian athletes who reportedly went through rigorous drug screening, much more rigorous than athletes from other countries. But even this week, there was the possibility that number could increase. So it's a bit of a mess, and it's important to note this is the second straight Olympics where in the final run-up to the opening ceremony, there's uncertainty about the Russian team because of doping. And anti-doping advocates and some non-Russian athletes I've talked to, they say this is sending confusing messages to clean athletes and to Olympic fans, and it's making a mockery of the so-called fight against doping.
It sounds like this might be a ban in name only. Is that fair?
I think that's a really good point. They, you know, critics say that's the absurdity of this so-called punishment for alleged widespread state-sponsored doping, which Russian officials, all the way up to Vladimir Putin, continue to deny. 169 athletes is almost as many as Russia sent to the 2010 Olympics in Vancouver, when the country wasn't even being sanctioned for doping. Now, the athletes have to follow a code of conduct here, and they're supposed to be neutral. No waving the Russian flag, no playing the national anthem, no traditional Russian uniforms for athletes, but the uniforms will say Olympic athletes from Russia. So everyone knows they're Russian, and they're not neutral. The IOC said a blanket ban of everyone, that would be unfair to clean Russian athletes. But as you say, many wonder, well, what exactly is the punishment?
Tom Goldman, NPR's sports correspondent. I'm going to let you go now, Tom. I just hope you stay warm and have some fun covering these games. Thanks.
Thanks, David.
All right, Melissa, you alluded to the political backdrop of these Olympics, which is extraordinary involving North Korea and South Korea.
And fascinating. I mean, North Korea is sending 22 athletes. This is part of an agreement that was reached by North and South Korea. Their athletes are going to march together in the opening ceremony. And for the first time at the Games, North and South Korean athletes are going to compete on the same team, the women's hockey team. When the players met, they took a group photo and they shouted, "We are one."
Well, NPR's Seoul correspondent Elise Hu has been spending a lot of time covering the tensions between North and South Korea, and I want to bring her in here. Hi, Elise.
Hey there.
So walk us through this agreement and what it actually means here.
So this one women's hockey team, it will compete as Korea, not North or South, under a neutral unification flag, which is white with a sky blue outline of the entire peninsula on it. And there's an old folk song that's well known to all Koreans across the peninsula called Arirang. That will serve as the unified team's anthem. And the other North Korean competitors, so there's 22 North Korean athletes taking part in total, North Korean skiers and skaters. They will actually just compete under their own North Korean flag.
But given everything that has been happening, I mean, on the peninsula and in the world, really, with the tensions with the United States and elsewhere, to hear something like We Are One and to hear patriotic folk songs that all Koreans can get behind, I mean, is this as big a deal as it seems?
Well, the two Koreas have come a long way in a short amount of time because in December, so just 2 months ago, they hadn't been talking for 2 years. So this is a big deal in that coming together for the Olympic Games has really eased tensions on the peninsula. But we should mention, David, there has been some backlash in the South. Some of the population remains quite distrustful of Kim Jong-un and the regime, for good reason, of course. Conservatives in Korea have been demonstrating against the North and this unity. They've criticized these Olympics as becoming the Pyongyang Olympics instead of the Pyeongchang Olympics. So Moon Jae-in, the president, is taking some heat for that.
Elise Hu is NPR's Seoul correspondent. Elise, thanks. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right, Melissa Block, before we wrap up, I know, I mean, you've covered Olympics before. You've dug into Team USA ahead of these games. I mean, what fun little details about these games can you leave us with?
Okay, one fun fact here. Team USA actually has seven sets of siblings at these games.
In fact,
seven groups of siblings just for Team USA. Three sibling pairs on the U.S. cross-country team alone.
That's cool.
Also, ice dancers, Maya and Alex Shibutani, they're known as the Shib Sibs. And in curling, you have Becca and Matt Hamilton. The two of them are going to get to compete together in a new event. It's the mixed doubles event. And let's listen to them talking about just what it's like working together.
He's pretty involved in the crowd, and he's got an upbeat personality. And I'm kind of the calm out there that reels him back in when you need to.
If someone's struggling or something like that, we can tell each other with absolute honesty what we're seeing.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, I know one thing that you've talked about being curious about is if there's anything in the world that actually makes these athletes worry, because they seem so put together, so well-trained, so ready for this moment. Are they worried about anything?
This is sort of an obsession of mine. I don't know why. I'm just obsessed with anxiety dreams. And these are people who are competing in this ultra high stress environment, right, on ice or snow. They're going in some sports 90 miles an hour in alpine skiing and bobsled and luge. So I asked them what their anxiety dreams are.
There's been different dreams where, like, you know, guys won't show up with their speed suits, or like my helmet, I won't have it. You know, you'll get to the top of the track and your runners will be on backwards. Yeah, that one scares you when you wake up.
That's Nick Cunningham. He's a bobsled pilot.
Scared of forgetting their equipment?
Forgetting
Never
their equipment.
Thought of that.
Yep, a common theme. Susan Dunkley is an athlete I met. She's a biathlete. That's the sport that combines two disciplines, cross-country skiing, and they ski with a rifle on their back, then they shoot at targets. Here's her anxiety dream.
One of the most common ones for me and my teammates that we talk about is we'll have dreams that we'll show up to the starting line and we're not wearing our rifle, which is, you know, a moment of extreme stress.
Next up is alpine skier Tommy Biesmeier.
I have had some dreams that I've woken up in the sweats from, and that's going off of a jump and then just drifting in the air and not knowing when you were going to hit, but you knew that you were going to hit hard. And that's like a fear of mine, for sure.
That's a painful dream.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But the flip side of that, in a way, this isn't really an anxiety dream. It's sort of a nice dream. This came from Ashley Caldwell. She competes in aerial skiing. They do somersaults and flips off of jump. She'll go maybe 60 feet up in the air. Here's her dream.
I go off the jump and I start flipping and twisting and I just never come down. And I just keep flipping and twisting. So that's like a fun one, you know? You just keep going. I did like 17 million backflips in my dream. Just wish sometimes that happened to me on the hill and I wouldn't land on my back or my face.
She just wants to keep going, flipping and twisting and never return to Earth?
Just kind of going. In fact, I had another aerial skier, Mech Bohan, and her teammate, who actually has almost the exact same anxiety dream, but his takes place in outer space. So he's flipping and flipping and flipping and he just is going into oblivion.
That's amazing. You must love covering these games.
I kind of do, can you tell?
All right, that is a teeth-chattering preview of the Olympics, the Up First Olympics preview special. I'm David Green.
And I'm Melissa Block. You can turn to Up First for the top headlines to help you get ready for your day. Subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. You can rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts.
And if you are just dying for more NPR news, there's a radio show for that. You can find NPR's Morning Edition on your NPR station. Just go to stations.npr.org, and you can find more of NPR's Olympics coverage on the NPR One app. Just go to the Explore page and look for The Torch. You can find the best stories about the games, the people, the politics of the Olympics, with new content that will be added every single day.
Some people like to look at the world through rose-colored glasses. I prefer the lens of the social sciences.
There's more than one of you in there.
It's almost literally unimaginable.
I'm Shankar Vedantam, host of Hidden Brain. Each week we ask the questions, what does it mean to be human, and why do we do what we do? Listen along as we find the answers.